Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
So grab your copy of God's Word and go with me to Matthew 22. There are a lot of good years. As you think back in your life, there's probably a year that you say, man, that one was a highlight year. Well, one for me was the year 2002. That was the year that I got to marry my bride. And here's one of our engagement pictures. That's us, little babies. So young, in love, pitter-patter and twitter-pated and all that stuff. It was just beautiful. That was us. That was me, like, 50 pounds ago or something like that. All right. So that was in 2002, and we decided on a location. We were going to do it at Camp Lucon, which is where we served, and just meant a lot to us. We picked out our wedding clothes, the bridal gown, the groom's tuxedo, the bridesmaids' dresses, the groomsmen suits, the whole nine yards. We wanted an outdoor wedding, June 1st. We didn't care how hot it was. We were going to be dressed to the nines, and here's a picture of that, just to kind of see. There's us. Yes. Whew, my goodness. Who is that guy? Woo! But man, Christy was so beautiful that day, and it was a lot of fun. It was hot, though. Michael and Reagan probably remember how hot it was. They were there. And our Christy's uncle did our, he was the officiant on our wedding. He almost passed out. Like he was, and everybody said it was the hottest wedding they'd ever been to. All right. But nevertheless, not just because Christy was the bride, but because because the temperature was hot, all right? But we sent out invitations and RSVPs and all that stuff to our families and friends. And as you know from parties that you've hosted, RSVPs are really important, all right? They're really important. Anybody here know what RSVP is an abbreviation for? Yeah, listen to y'all speaking French and stuff. There you go. Respondez, s'il vous plaît. In other words, respond, please. Our invitation to the wedding, when we sent that out, we were calling for a response. We needed to know how many people were coming because we had to know how many chairs to rent, how many tables to set up, how many chicken wings to fry, because that was the first meal that Christy ever made for me. I knew she was a keeper right then, man. If she could cook, we're good to go. And so chicken wings is what we served at our wedding. And so we had to know all of those details. And so when we sent out that invitation, we wanted a response back. And RSVP, respondez, s'il vous plaît, respond, please. Well, tonight, we're going to continue walking through the parables of Jesus in our series that we're calling Let Him Hear. And whether you realize it or not, you have been invited to something. And the invitation, along with that invitation, is a response, a request for a response. So what have you been invited to? What have we all been invited to? And the answer is, according to Jesus here, the kingdom of heaven. And so tonight's big question, as we think about this, is basically this. What will your response be? We'll say it more technically this way. Here's tonight's big question. How will you respond to God inviting you to the kingdom of God? Now, it may be that tonight I'm preaching to the choir. Everybody in here is already saved. And if that's the case, praise God and amen. But if that's not the case, tonight the invitation has been given to you. What will your response be? You're going to hear the invitation from God clearly tonight. But if you're here and you've already trusted in Christ, then I know that you know somebody who has not yet trusted in Christ. And we're going to talk about what their response should be. I want to kind of help and equip you to speak to them in one sense on how they should respond to this invitation to join the kingdom of heaven. All right. So Jesus here tells a parable to illustrate these different responses that people often give. And so the big question is, how will you respond? So let's take a look at tonight's parable to see what Jesus has to say. Matthew 22. The first 14 verses. Would somebody read that for us tonight? Matthew 22, 1 through 14. Who would read that? Thank you.
but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there was a man who had no wedding garment, and he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen."
All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word and the parable here, and there is so many parallels to our everyday life, what we experience here in this parable. And Lord, we may not be able to wring out every drop that's here tonight, but help us to get the big picture that we might understand it and then be able to live it and apply it. Again, as I prayed a moment ago, or as I said a moment ago, God, I'm praying now that if anybody under the sound of my voice has not trusted in Christ, has not responded in a positive way to that invitation to the kingdom of heaven, we pray that tonight they would. It's Wednesday night and it's a perfect night to get saved because it's tonight. And Father, for those in our minds, for those of us who are already in Christ, but we have those people on our minds who have not yet said yes, they've said no, they've said maybe, they've said a lot of things. God, would you just equip us and embolden us, Lord, to have a conversation with them, to encourage them in Jesus. And so we pray in his name, amen. So how will you respond to God inviting you to the kingdom of heaven? Well, based on what Jesus tells us here in this parable, here's how you should respond, right? First, you should respond by realizing what you've been invited to. Let me say it that way, all right? You should realize what you've been invited to. We've all been there before, man. You get an invitation to a party, and you're not really sure if you want to go, right? You get it in the mail, and you're like, oh, man, I don't know if I want to go. I don't know if it's going to be any fun. It may be lame. I don't know if any of my friends are going to be there. I may be too busy. We keep coming up with all these. Typically, when we get an invitation to a party, a lot of times we come up with all of the excuses, all right? You're just not sure if you want to go. Now, here with the kingdom of heaven, this invitation comes to you, and you need to understand, we need to help other people understand what they've been invited to. Because I believe that if they understood what they've been invited to, that it'll change that response, right? Jesus compares it to something. Not what we think about when we think about when he says the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't compare it to things that we think about. Like, think about when you were growing up and you saw those cartoons. How was heaven always pictured in all the cartoons or the shows as you were growing up? Floating on a cloud, playing a harp, little wings flittering around, and all that stuff. It's like the most boring place you'd ever want to go. And always in the cartoons, hell was cool. It's like, yeah, it's a party down there and all this. And, you know, yeah, it's a little bit hot, but you know, it's a lot of fun, you know, and all that, okay? But that is, just think about that for just a moment. If someone died and they're transported immediately to heaven, they're not given wings and a harp. They don't sit around on clouds playing all day, flitting around. Guys, nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing sounds more boring than that. No, Jesus compares heaven to what? A party. And it's a big party. It is a big party. A wedding party, to be exact. And not just some common wedding party. The wedding party was for a king's son. It was a king's son. I mean, if anybody knows how to throw a party, it's a king, right? I mean, he has everything at his disposal. He has all the things that he could want for this party. You know, kings always throw big parties, but you better believe that if a king's son is having a party, it's going to be the party of all parties. The heir of the throne, they will spare no expense. It's going to be huge, and it's going to last a long time. Now, it's interesting. Our parties, our wedding parties, you know, they typically last a few hours, okay? But not back in these days. Even a common wedding would last a week. Like, it was a big community event. They would party for a week. There would be food, there'd be wine, there'd be dancing. Man, they would have this big time, this whole host of fun things to do. It was a highlight of all of the social activities there. But a royal wedding? It wouldn't just last a week. A royal wedding might go on for several weeks. And a wedding party prepared for the king's son would be the party of all parties, as I said a moment ago. It would be a really big to-do. And that is what Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to. We've got to get that in our brains. Again, so often we think that heaven is going to be dull and boring. It's like, yeah, Jesus will be there, and I mean, I know it's going to be kind of cool, but it just kind of leaves us cold, to be just honest a lot of times, the way we picture heaven in our heads. But the truth of the matter is, y'all, is that it's going to be like this king's son's party. We need to see that. Or if we've already seen it, we need to help others see that the invitation to the kingdom of heaven is like that invitation to the party that you cannot even imagine, right? It's the greatest party you could think of. No way will it be boring. Who do you think started that lie? The devil, right? That hell would be boring, or that heaven would be boring and hell would be fun. No way, man. That is the devil spreading lies. Heaven will be wonderful and hell will be awful. It'll be the best party you've ever been in when you get to heaven, guys. And it'll have everything that a holy heart would desire. You'll be full of joy. You'll be full of satisfaction. And so as you think about your response to the invitation, you must realize what you're being invited to. Secondly, as we look at this passage here tonight, you should stop making lame excuses. Now, that's what the guest did here in this passage. Now, that's sort of the crazy thing, right? I mean, when Jesus begins to tell the parable, I mean, the king's throwing a party, and these guests say, "No, I ain't coming. I got other things to do." Like, everybody's like, "Oh my goodness, seriously?" Right? So the king sends out his servants. The party's ready. All the invited guests have been invited already, but he's going to tell them, "Hey, it's ready. Y'all come." But they wouldn't come. And so the king, he sent out some different servants this time. He tells them again, even more emphatically this time, with a lot more details. He starts talking about the things that, I mean, we got the oxen, we got this fatted calf. You're going to love it, man. It's going to be so fun. But they couldn't care less. They had better things to do in their mind, right? They had things like their farm. "Oh, man, I'd love to come, man, but I got to go milk my goats." You know, you just hear, you know, the farmer saying that, or the businessman saying, "Oh, I'd love to come, but I just can't close down my store. I mean, I need the money, and people are depending on me. This community depends on me. I mean, this is where all the old men come every day to talk. Where would they go gossip if my store's not open, all right?" You know, you can just think of all the excuses they would come up, and lame excuses to miss the party. But, you know, we hear lame excuses all the time. Maybe some of you in the room right now are giving lame excuses for why you've not yet come to the kingdom of God. Or you remember, if you're already saved, back in the day, the lame excuses that you would give. I'm just curious tonight, what are some of those lame excuses that people sometimes give for not saying yes to the invitation to the kingdom of heaven? What are some of those things? What's that? "I'm not good enough." That is, that's a lame excuse.
"Can't hold out."
Can't what?
"Can't hold out. It'll not last."
Okay, it won't last. Yeah, absolutely.
"Once in a while."
Yeah, it's going to be. I've still got some fun to live, because that Christianity stuff's boring, they think, right? You ever hear, "Oh, there are too many hypocrites. I don't want to be numbered with the hypocrites." It doesn't stop them from going anywhere else, but it stops them from going to church. What other lame excuses have you heard? Okay, yeah, "I'm not good enough yet. And maybe I won't ever be." It's not just that I'm not good enough. It's that I'm not yet. Maybe one day I will be, but certainly I may never be. We also hear the one kind of goes along with what Gene said, basically, "Someday. Someday I will." All right? Someday, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, all right? "I don't want to give this up." You hear lame excuses like that. Or sometimes you may hear this one: "I'm mad at God. God did this in my life," or "God allowed this to happen in my life, and he doesn't deserve my worship. What a lame excuse. What a lame excuse. There's so many that we could come up with. Whatever your excuse is tonight, if you have one, or whatever excuse your friend or your family member is giving, let me lovingly say to you in the name of Jesus, that excuse is lame. It's lame. Just think here for just a moment. There is no reason whatsoever to reject the invitation that God has given you. He has moved heaven and earth to save you. He sent his son Jesus. Not only did he send his son Jesus, but he what's the word I want to use here? He basically not suffered. I don't want to use the word suffered there, but he put up with your junk, our junk, for millennia. From the Garden of Eden until Christ came. He has been so good to you. Took on flesh, and Jesus, the Son of God, took on flesh, dwelt among you. All those things. You just look throughout the Scripture. The Scripture is the story of how good God has been to you. That you might get this invitation and say yes to God. And basically what you're doing when you say no thanks is you're slapping God in the face. Just like these dudes were. I mean, this is the king who came to them. The king had invited them. And when they say, I got to work my farm, or I got to work my business. I know a grandmother one time who told her grandson, I would come to your wedding, but I've got to work. And the truth of the matter is, she worked at a little country store in the middle of nowhere for beans, you know? And her grandson felt slapped in the face because she couldn't find the time to stop her work to come and to celebrate. Because when you go to a wedding, it's not just that, hey, you're going to have a blast. When you go to the wedding, you're saying, I love you, right? Thank you. Are you're celebrating the person that invited you, and to say no, especially in this case here, I mean, this is the king, this is the king's son, this is the heir to the throne in this parable here. It was a slap in the face of the king. They were basically saying, your son, king, is not worth my time. And we need to get this in our heads. If you're here tonight and God is giving you that invitation, you've said no. You are telling Jesus Christ that he is not worthy of your time. Doesn't matter what he's done for you. He's not worthy of your time. He's not worthy of your devotion. That's exactly what we do. That's exactly what we say to God when we reject the invitation to heaven. But in the parable here, they didn't just reject the invitation. Like they just didn't have people who said, all right, I wish I could come, but I got to do these other things. They actually abused the messengers we see here, right? They arrested them. They abused them. They even killed them. Now, in real life, I mean, Jesus here is engaging in sort of like verbal combat in one sense with a crowd here, right? And this parable is used to basically take a knife in the, you know, in the love of God and twist it a little bit, to stab them, to prick them and twist it, okay? Who are the people that these people here represent? It's the religious leaders, right? They're the ones who has been invited into the kingdom of God, who have said no thank you. They've killed the prophets. They've abused the prophets. They've rejected the prophets, arrested the prophets, all those things over the years. And clearly they're saying, well, he's talking about us. They had made lame excuses for years. And they had mistreated and murdered God's servants for years. And so what did the king in the parable do to these people? Two things. One, he punished the murderers. That's what it says here. And we can understand that one, right? That's justice. He gave them justice. And that should scare us, I suppose. But you may be here tonight and you say, listen, I've not done that sort of stuff. I've just politely said no to God. Here's the second thing that he done, and you need to hear this tonight if this is you, if you've not yet repented and trusted Christ. Listen to this. The second thing that he did is that he moved on to invite others. Now listen to me, that's a scary thought. Listen to me say that again. He moved on to invite others. If tonight, if you're here outside of the kingdom of God, let me ask you this question. How long will God persevere in inviting you? He doesn't even have to do it once. I mean, just one invitation is grace. You don't deserve that invitation. And yet, maybe he's invited you multiple times. You've been invited and invited and invited, yet you still refuse to come. How much longer will God strive with you? Man, you don't know. You honestly don't know. We read in Scripture where God just says, all right, I'm going to turn you over to that reprobate mind. I'm going to turn you over. You want to play in the pig pen? Go for it. I'm done. And I'm not trying to be ugly, but guys, God doesn't have to continue to extend grace. God can give you what you deserve, and he is not wrong for doing that. So how much longer will God strive with you? You don't know. You honestly never know. So please, I just say to you, stop making lame excuses. Come to Christ this very hour. And listen, that's if you're a loved one and you get a chance and you get into a serious gospel conversation, then that might be one of the things you talk to them about. Right? God has been gracious to you. Even the fact that I'm talking to you about God right now is a grace to you. But we don't know how many times God will tarry with you. Come to Christ before God moves on and no longer extends that grace to you. But that brings us to the third thing that you should do here in this parable. And it's this. It is go in and take your place in the kingdom of God. Say yes. That's what you should do. You need to get an invitation to the kingdom of heaven. Say yes. Now, as I said on Sunday morning, if you were here, I didn't say yes the first time. How many guys, you had to be invited several times before you said yes? Yeah, me too, right? And so over and over again, we got that invitation. Praise God that God continued to be gracious to us. But I'm saying to you, and we need to say to our loved ones, our family and friends, go in, say yes, take your place in the kingdom of heaven. You see, after the king had his invitations rejected, he determined that he was not going to let his son be put to shame. So he sent out his servants again. He'd already sent it to the invited guests, the covenant people, so to speak, the ones that he had promised to, that they were invited to the wedding. And he sent his servants out to the highways and the byways to urge any and everybody to come into the feast. As many as the servants could find, it says here. He didn't care how good or bad they were. Now listen to me very carefully tonight. Maybe your lame excuse is, like the sister said here, I'm just not good enough. That is a lie, because we see right here in the parable, the king flings the doors open wide to everyone, whether they're good or they're bad, right? You don't have to meet a prerequisite to say yes to the invitation. He doesn't care how rich you are or how poor you are. He doesn't care the color of your skin. He doesn't care what you've done. The only thing he cares about is whether or not you are willing to come in. That's all he cares about. That is the only thing that is a prerequisite to the kingdom of heaven, is the desire to come in. The desire to come in. God will not drag you kicking and screaming into the kingdom of heaven. God saves no one against their will. You must desire it. And every person that desires to come into the kingdom of heaven, he will not turn away. It doesn't matter what you've done. Again, we can just go through all those things. The only thing that he cares about is whether or not you're willing to come in. And I want you to understand that that's where the kingdom of heaven stands today. mean, Jesus is preaching this, what, 2,000 years ago or so? In 2019, this is still the invitation. The gates of heaven have been flung open wide, and all who will come in have been invited in. So what should you do with this invitation, man? You should go in. Do it. Take your place in the kingdom of heaven. God's provided everything you need. Trust in Christ, put on Christ, and enjoy the party. Forever. Forever. But that brings us to the final thing that you should do. And it's this, is that you should bear the distinctive marks of being in the kingdom of heaven. Now this last section here, man, it's just one of those that kind of throws us for a loop, okay? So, just say up front, you may come up with a different interpretation of what's being said here. That's cool. We can argue about it. A lot of people argued about it over the years, okay, what this last section means. But as I've tried to reconcile with the Word of God and everything here, I think this is what this means. Bear the distinctive marks of being in the kingdom of heaven. And if you disagree with me, you don't disagree with me, you disagree with Charles Spurgeon or some of the other guys I looked up, you know, to try to help me along, right? Praise God for other preachers who've gone before us, right? To help us understand these things. Look at Matthew 22, verse 11 through 14. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there was a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." And so we look here and we see this. We've got these guests. They've all come in, these ragtag bunch of people. Good, bad, indifferent, rich, poor, it didn't matter. Just whoever they could find. There was no discrimination in who came in. They just brought everybody in. And in those days, it was something that a king might do, knowing that his subjects were poor a lot of times. He would provide clothing for his subjects. So not only would he invite them to the party, he would give them the clothes for the party so that they could come dressed and enjoy themselves. You guys know part of the fun of the party is not just going to the party, it's getting dressed up for the party and the selfies and all the pictures you're going to take and all that stuff, right? That's part of the fun of it. And so one of the things that the king would do in these days is say, yeah, have all this clothes ready. And as they come in, as they come into the party, make sure they get the good threads on, the kingly threads. And here we have a man in this parable here who basically said, "I don't want that. I'm going to come in with what I've got, what I've brought here. I'm going to come into this party on my own merits in one sense," okay? So he was at the party, but he wasn't dressed in the party clothing. And guys, I try to reconcile this and think this through, I believe, again, basically what God is saying this, what Jesus is saying here, is that when we come into that party, if we're really part of the party, that we will bear those distinctive marks of being in the kingdom of heaven. Because when the king comes in, now this is the climax right here of the thing, right? The party's been going on in May. I don't know how many weeks it's been going on, but here comes the king. He's coming in. He's going to condescend and he's going to bless all the subjects by his presence. It was the big deal, right? It was the climax. Here comes the king. And he comes in and he looks around and all of a sudden it's like he zeroes in. Oh my gosh, that guy is so out of place right there. And it was an offense to the king. Was my provision not good enough for you? Why would you not put on what I've provided you? And guys, I just say to you that when we come into the kingdom of heaven, we hear oftentimes in Scripture talking about putting off and putting on. We put off those old things and we put on the newness that is in Christ. And so when it comes to the wedding here, as he talks about this, those who are in the kingdom of heaven, Those who are really in, those who are really part of it, they bear the distinctive marks of being in the kingdom of heaven. Now, what do you call someone who calls themselves a Christian but doesn't bear the marks of a Christian? Well, the Bible calls them lost, right? But we would say they're a nominal Christian. They are a Christian in name only. And there are a lot of folks who are Christians in name only. They grew up in a Christian culture. Their granny was a Christian. They went to VBS as a child. They've got all of these trappings that they think they're a Christian, but they have no distinguishing marks that they are in the kingdom of God. And so just understand, just because you may be in the church, being in the church, just like being in the wedding, wasn't enough. You've got to bear those marks. You've got to put on Christ. You've got to put on what God has provided for you. It is utter rebellion to say, thanks but no thanks. I'll rest in myself, okay? And so as he says here, the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot, cast him into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then to sum up the whole thing, Jesus says this, but many are called, but few are chosen. Now we're not going to get into all of what that means, but know this, that you'll invite a lot more people to Christ than will ever say yes to the invitation. Right? The invitation goes out far and wide. We invite everybody. Many are called, but in the end, few are chosen. So here's my final prayer for you tonight and for all of us, and it's this. May you gladly respond with a yes when God invites you to the kingdom of heaven. I can't wait for the party. Cannot wait for the party. But you know what? I want to take some people with me to the party. And I know you have someone on your heart that you want to take with you to that party as well. So I pray that in some way you've kind of been sharpened and emboldened to talk with them about what they're missing out on when they say no to the invitation.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.